For the moms who raised us up, gave us hope, and made us strong. For the young moms who became moms sooner than expected and gave it all they had. For the single moms who had to figure out how to do this on their own. For those who never got called mom, but who cared for us all like a mom would. For the hurting moms who've loved and lost but never given up. For the praying moms who don't always know what to do, but always know who to talk to. For the working moms, stay-home moms, the cooking moms, and the takeout moms. For taking care of us when you barely had enough time to take care of yourself. For teaching us how to walk and how to make a difference. For the late-night snuggles and the early morning pancakes. For sitting with us after our first breakup. For lifting us up when others put us down. For the rides, the meals, the laundry, and the birthday parties. For the years, tears, laughter, and love. It's not enough, but we want to say thank you. Thank you for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. We love you. We honor you. We remember you. We thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, Sunrise. My name is Jen Cole. I am the Women's Ministry Director here at Sunrise, and I am so excited to be the one to wish all of you ladies a very happy Mother's Day. For the next few minutes, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day and just look at so many different aspects of it all. I know Mother's Day can look a lot different for us this year. I'm actually going to do a virtual chocolate tasting later today with my mom in Ohio and my mother-in-law and sister-in-law in North Carolina. So I'm really excited about that. Whatever your Mother's Day may look like, I hope you enjoy it. Kids, if you haven't had a chance yet to wish mom a happy Mother's Day, I'm gonna ask you to pause this for just a second, give her a hug, tell her all the reasons why you love her. Well, that's exactly what we asked the family of our staff to do. Our staff has worked tirelessly behind the scenes these past few months to keep things going at Sunrise, to keep our services online, to keep connecting and reaching out to our community. So I wanted to give back to them. So what we did is we reached out to husbands and kids of our staff members, and we asked them to send in some video messages for Mother's Day. We hope you enjoy.
Mom, happy Mother's Day. I so love and appreciate your commitment to lifelong learning, which has impacted me so drastically. I am 4 months away from getting my doctorate. Thank you so much. I love you.
Mom, I love you so much and for so many reasons, but especially for your love for teaching, your love for the family, and your love for God. We love you so much. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
Hey, we're the Beavers in Reading, Pennsylvania.
We just wanted to wish Rhonda and all the moms a happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Mom, I just wanted to say happy Mother's Day, and thank you so much for the faith that you have and for the impact that it's had on my own life. And thank you so much for all that you've sacrificed for me and my siblings. Love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
One thing that I love about you is that you cook food for us.
One thing I like about you is because you take care of Amelia and cook meals for us.
Today. One thing I love about you is that you're so patient with us.
Happy Mother's Day, babe. I love that you are the most amazing mom in the world to these four kiddos.
What do you say? Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
We love you.
We hope you have a great Mother's Day.
You're the best.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Love you, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. And I just wanted you to know you mean the world to me. And I hope you have a great day. Love you. Bye.
I love my mom because she is sweet. She helps us clean up. She does most of the work at the house. And she takes good care of us. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Bye. love my mom because she reads books to me sometimes at bedtime. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Bye.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks again, Sunrise staff kids, for sending in those Mother's Day greetings. Moms, I also want to challenge you to take a moment today to stop and thank your kids and tell them why you love them and what an honor it is to be their mom. That's what we're going to do next, is I'm actually so honored to be the mom of Grace, Luke, Jack, and Will. And each of them are going to come up and I'm going to ask them some fun Mother's Day trivia questions. So here's how our Mother's Day trivia game is going to work. I'm going to ask each of my four kids a question, and at home, you can either pause your video or just shout out the answers to the TV. Are you ready, Luke?
Yes.
Here we go. First question. How many diapers does a mom change by their child's second birthday?
Say about 6,500.
Close. 7,300 diapers. That's a lot of diapers, moms. Way to go. For question number two, I have my daughter Grace with me. You ready, Grace?
Yeah.
All right. What was the average number of kids a mom would have in the 1700s?
Six.
Good guess. Between 7 and 10. That's a lot of kids, moms. For question number three, I have my son Will here with me. You ready, Will?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. How long does it take a mom to change a diaper?
I think 30 seconds.
Ooh, good guess. Super moms, that's what we are. It actually takes us just a little bit longer. On average, it takes moms just a little over 2 minutes to change a diaper, when it takes dads a little less than 2 minutes. I think it takes moms a little bit longer because of that extra loving care that they give. But guess what, moms? That adds up to a lot of time. All of those diaper changes adds up to 3 40-hour work weeks throughout a year. Keep it up, moms. Okay, last question. This is my 15-year-old son, Jack. Jack, are you ready?
Yes.
What is the most amount of kids a woman has ever given birth to?
70.
Really close. I can't believe it. 69. Over a 40-year span of time, from 1725 to 1765, a woman in Russia gave birth to 69 kids. I think she deserved a really big Mother's Day celebration. We have a lot of great things going on for you at Sunrise, starting with Women's Ministry. Each Monday at 2 p.m., we have a Women's Connect Zoom call. During that time, what we do is we just get together as friends. We share how we're doing at this time, and we're praying over one another. I'd encourage you to join us. On Thursdays, we've started our first ever digital Bible study called What the Women Saw. Each Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., we get together on a Zoom call to just dig into the Word together, to process what we're learning through this study, and to pray over one another. If you would like more information on how to get connected with either one of these Zoom calls, please reach out to Tammy Lynch at tammyl@scconline.cc. Also, like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram to see our daily devotionals that we're doing just for women. Other things that are going on at Sunrise throughout the week, starting Mondays at 10 a.m., is the famous Backshed Bible Study with Pastor Cliff. Join him on Facebook Live for that. Also on Facebook Live on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. is Pastors Live. This is a really fun way to connect with our pastoral team, to text in questions, and to get to know us even better. On Thursdays, the Luke Miller podcast goes live on our website. Check that out at sunrise.church. Now is the time. It is such an honor to give back our tithes and offerings to our Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, you can do that in three ways. The first way is by giving online at our website, sunrise.church. Second, you can follow the instructions on the screen and text in your giving. Third, you can send in your offering to our church office. Now, can you please bow your heads with me and join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for adopting us into your family. Through the miracle of your grace and for calling us to be brothers and sisters to one another. Today, loving God, we pray for our mothers who cared for us when we were helpless, who comforted us when we were hurt, whose love and care we often took for granted. Today, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mother, those who have experienced the loss of a child or infertility, those who have experienced the wonder of an adopted mother's love. There are many families that are separated today, Lord, by distance, or who can't be celebrating together today because of the pandemic. We pray, God, that they feel close to one another during this time. God, we pray that you bless and you multiply these gifts that we give back to you. It is such a privilege to do so, Lord. Help to multiply it tenfold so we can continue serving you and spreading the gospel and the love and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ to not only those at Sunrise, but more importantly, those outside of our walls and in our community. God, keep us united with you and each other so that we can become all that you want us to be. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day again, moms, to each of you. And please join us together as we worship.
Three. forget. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I
good morning, Sunrise, and happy Mother's Day. I'm glad that I get to be with you and celebrate with you on this day. And it's a great day when we can come together and celebrate the women in our lives. It's not just mothers, and I say this over and over, that when we look at ourselves as church and we look at ourselves as a community, we truly are a family. And so with that in mind, if you are part of our family, you are a mom to us or a grandma to us, which parents, you may also realize, if we use that paradigm, we just got a whole lot more babysitters. So truly, happy Mother's Day to everyone. And this morning, I wanted to take some time and take a look at the book of Exodus right at the very beginning as we take a look at the story of Moses. And sometimes, when we start something and start putting something together, We're not sure what it'll actually end up looking like when we first start. For someone who's ever been to IKEA, you fully understand this. That when you come home and you pull out of the box the Blorgenspork or whatever it's called, and somehow if you know it's supposed to look like a futon, but you're not making it look like a futon, sometimes there can be that frustration. There's a reason why that IKEA says do this with more than one person. The first time that Sarah and I were putting something together, and let me tell you, if you want to test your marriage and test your relationship with your spouse, go to IKEA and buy something and try putting it together. But I thought I would surprise Sarah and I'd say, I'm gonna put this together all by myself. When she comes home from work, it'll be ready to go. And I spent, we'll just say, a large amount of time putting this bed together, and I couldn't figure it out. And as I think that I'm almost done, all of a sudden Sarah walks in and she's holding two pieces in her hand. But it already looks like a bed. Where do these two pieces go? Clearly they must be extra pieces, right? What I'm saying is it's so often that in life, when we start something, we don't know what it's going to look like. With the story of Moses and the very beginning of Exodus chapter 2, when we take a look at Moses, it's hard to imagine that this child born in this time is going to be something great. Yet he ends up being one of the greatest prophets, or the greatest prophet, according to the people of Israel. But I don't want to take a look at Moses today. Yes, Exodus chapter 2 follows the storyline of Moses, but I want to take a look at the people in the story right in the beginning of Exodus chapter 2. Because I think it can give us a really good picture and paint a great picture of the moms in our life and the women in our life. When I take a look at this, I often think that especially when we look at moms in our life or fathers or family members alike, we find ourselves at times being like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I remember when we brought home Ari for the very first time, or we got him strapped into the car after it took forever, and Sarah and I both looked at each other and be like, so here we go. So the adventure starts. And in our text this morning, we're found in a time in which every day was this dark place. It was a sad and miserable day for mothers, fathers, and family members alike. The God's people were under oppression from Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. Cold-hearted and murderous, he had given the order to kill every male child born among God's people. Each baby boy was to be tossed into the Nile and drowned. Lives created in the image of God were being destroyed. If someone had told those mothers and fathers, God is working it out, they may have cursed at the person who was saying it, as well as God, because of the grief and anger that they were experiencing. What I want to look at is that there are opportunities before us this morning to make a difference for God. And are we willing to open our eyes and realize that we may our story may take place in the forefront, or it may take place in the background, but regardless of what it is, that God is saying, I've got a plan for you. If you had been there in the first chapter of Exodus, what would you have done? Imagine for a moment you or your wife or your sister or your mother is pregnant. You don't know if it's a boy or a girl. If it's a girl, then the news can be spread throughout the community. We've got a new baby. But if it's a boy, you know the soldiers will be coming to take him away and to throw him into the Nile. If you don't go to the soldiers, then you know that you yourself will be beaten or possibly killed for hiding a child. So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. And I want you to notice that it's a big risk for a woman to get married during these times. Knowing that at any moment that in their marriage that she could become pregnant. And if that child was a male, then that child was doomed. And actually we see and we know that this family, or we know that the woman's name was Jochebed. Or if, as I taught you before in Hebrew, we would pronounce it with a nice sound, Jochebed. In fact, turn to your sibling and say, Jochebed. Come on. Jochebed. There you go. I'm going to make you guys like little Hebrew scholars so soon. This is going to be great. Now, in verse 2, it says she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Jochebed saw something unique about this child whom she had given birth to. And now everybody thinks that their child is a good-looking child, but this verse tends to suggest that there's something beyond this. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, it says that he was no ordinary child, that he had God's favor upon him. It says that she was able to hide her child for 3 months. I don't know how she hid the child for those first 3 months of life. But I have no doubt that it would have been tough. Now, Jochebed had done what she could to protect the child. She knew that she could not raise the child to maturity on her own strength. She knew the odds were against her. She knew that it was just a matter of time before the soldiers would come knocking on the door. She knew also that God was still God and that God could make a difference in this story. She also knew a word from God on what to do could make a difference, could make all the difference in the world. There's a beautiful picture of trusting in God with her child. A child that she knew shouldn't make it, yet a child that she's trusted God with. And I think right from the start, we can thank God for all those who've chosen to be those Jochebeds this morning. Even when others are telling you, don't invest in that kid or that child. He or she is not going to amount to anything. You see something more. You realize it's going to take a miracle to turn this child around, but you're willing to wait to get word from God on how to make a difference. Jochebed got word from the Lord on what to do. And in verse 3, it says, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket and coated with tar and pitch. She placed the child in it and put it among the reeds on the banks of the Nile. Jochebed was a realist, and there came a point when she had to let the child go, but she didn't just throw him out. She did what God told her to do with the child. Now, I want to take this moment because all of our Bibles probably give a bit of a different definition on what she put him in. Some of your Bibles will say, and she put him in an ark made of papyrus and tar. A lot of yours will say she put him in a papyrus basket held together with pitch and tar. It's a tiny little English word, but it makes a very big difference. You see, that Hebrew word teva there is a very important word. That word ark, which is teva, is only used one other place. And it's used in the story of Noah and the ark. For those of you who think, okay, there's another place, it's the Ark of the Covenant, that's not it. That's a different word, and that word, Ark of the Covenant, literally means a chest of wood. But here, for any Jewish person reading this story, and the story of Moses understands that when they use that word and she put him in that ark, in that teva, it tells the story or draws them to the story of Noah. And the beautiful thing about this is that word is very specific. There's all sorts of words in Hebrew for boat and so for a boat that has its own propulsion, no steering, a boat that has its own steering, no propulsion, a sailboat, a boat that has both steering and propulsion, a rowboat, but an ark itself is solely at the will of God. There's no steering. There's no propulsion system. When it says she put Moses in an ark, it's saying she trusted God's sovereignty. And there's a very beautiful picture in that. In my mind, it's the Jochebeds in our lives that give us a fighting chance to make it. Without her willingness to take a risk for that child, we would not have the first five books of the Old Testament. Have you thought of that? If it wasn't for Jochebed and her trust in God, then Moses wouldn't have made it. When we look at verse 4, we move on to the next woman in the story. Seemingly behind the scenes, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. This sister is not an adult. She's probably a young lady, perhaps a teenager at that time. But she took an interest in her brother and stood at a distance to see what would happen. This sister is who we know as Miriam. And everyone needs a Miriam who's willing to watch us after the Jochebeds have sent us along. Miriams know they can't do anything about our past, but they can offer what love and guidance they have while we are in their presence. When I think of Miriams in our church and in churches, I think of our teachers. God has given a ministry of feeding and loving for the kids who come out of Sunrise. I think of all those school teachers, those counselors, those advisors, those camp counselors who watch after our kids and then send them on their way. Only for a moment in time, but their care and love is immense. They're there for them whether we know it or not. You're ready to help whether they appreciate it or not. When the time comes, you step forward and speak up on their behalf because they cannot speak for themselves. You are willing to take a risk and step forward. You haven't given up on them because you know that God is doing a great thing in their hearts. One of the most moving moments, or a moment that I remember from growing up, I had traveled to Australia for a year, and I remember coming back to our church in Victoria. And when I came back, there was a group of women, probably between 80 and 90 years old, who came up to me and they said, "Luke, you're back." And I only knew a few of them. And they said, "We just wanted you to know that we knew you were going to be safe that whole year while you were gone. And we prayed for you every week. And we prayed for you by name every week." I was 20 years old at the time. And I saw the faith of these people who I didn't know well, who seemed off in a distance, yet were prayer warriors lifting me up. I think of my Sunday school teachers, and to be honest, when I go back home, I think I still apologize to a lot of my Sunday school teachers. Let's just say I wasn't always the most ideal Sunday school student, but the care and the love that they had for us. We've got the Jochebeds in our lives. We've got the Miriams in our lives. But now we go on to another one here where we say, that morning Pharaoh's daughter felt the need to take a bath. But instead of taking a bath in the palace, something moved on her, and she said, "No, I'm going to go down to the Nile." Now she didn't know what that voice was, but in verse 5 we read that Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw a basket or an ark among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. If we stop right there for a moment, here's a person we need in our lives, a person that we will never know by name, that's not even mentioned in the story, just that she was a servant of Pharaoh's daughter. She had no idea when she woke up that morning that God had chosen her to rescue the deliverer of her people from the Nile. She had no idea that when she went down and she looked in that basket, that would be the one person who would deliver them from the Egyptians. She's not mentioned by name, but her actions help Moses along this way. Who knows what she would have prayed that morning? Who knows what it would have looked like? We don't always know how God is working out what we do and what's going on, but we know that he's working. If she had only known the person inside that basket she went to and rescued was the greatest prophet of God and the one who would deliver her children and grandchildren from slavery, she probably would have had a reaction of shouting and praise. And from this servant girl, we see that you don't need to be in a position of great power to be used in a plan of God. You won't even know when that small act that you are doing will lead to great things. People who are willing to help us out simply because somebody told them to go and do something for us. People who are willing to handle us gently because they're not sure of our situation. Those are the people that we need in our lives. And those are the people that we have in our lives that work behind the scenes. At just the right time, God started Moses crying in this story. In the right moment, Moses starts crying. The instant she saw the child, God touched her heart and it went from judgment to mercy. It was her father who had given the order to kill all of these Hebrew babies. Yet all she had was compassion for the child. I told you that we need a Miriam in our lives, someone willing to watch over us at a distance, lift us up in prayer, someone who is willing to speak up for us when we can't speak for ourselves. And in verse 7, we then see this statement of Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get the Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you?" Pharaoh's daughter became an extraordinary woman for the very simple reason. She became part of God's plan. There were millions of people praying for deliverance from slavery for the Israelites. And here was the person who came to help them. Pharaoh's daughter didn't have a lot to gain from this. But she answered in the words that God has been waiting for years for some of us to say in verse 8, which was, "Yes, go." She's asked, "Do you want me to go get that child from the river?" And her answer is, "Yes, go." I say this because as we look at this story, we've got Jochebed. We've got Miriam. We've got the servant girl that we don't even know. And then we've got Pharaoh's daughter. And each and every one of them is pivotal to God's plan, to helping Moses. And I love this because as I think of my own mom, I think so often of the things that were done in the background. I think of the things that she did that I knew she probably didn't want to do, but she did for us. The amount of days that she probably got, well, not even probably, that I know she got the call at school from one of us saying, "I forgot my lunch," when the last thing she said before we went out the door was, "Do you have your lunch?" And she'd take it to the school. The being happy regardless of what was going on in so many ways. I remember on Mother's Day, I still remember, we'd love making mom breakfast in bed. And I remember my sisters handled the orange juice, and I thought that I was this great chef. I don't know how old I was. I probably don't want to admit how old I was. I just know I had seen TV and that everybody uses spices and herbs and all of this stuff with making food. And so I thought I'd make mom an omelet. And so I literally emptied out the spice rack in just a bit of thyme here, a bit of oregano here, you know, garlic powder here, all just going into this mix of for an omelet. And we took it upstairs, so proud, delivered breakfast in bed. This is great orange juice. Try the omelet, Mom, I made it. To which I'm pretty sure I heard the response after I know she choked it down was, this is the best omelet I've ever had. To which she drank the rest of the orange juice as quickly as she could. I don't know what happened to the rest of the omelet. But I just know that there's so much unconditional love from women in our lives who've made a difference in our lives, who've built the kingdom that we may never even know how much they've done for us. But today is a day that we get to say thank you. No doubt the people of Israel have to look back at these four women and say thank you. Because those tiny steps, some great, some just very simple, we're all a part of God's great story. To the women in our lives, especially on a day like today, we say thank you. To the women in our lives who we are able to know we're working in the background, to those who we don't know who are working in the backgrounds, we say thank you. We don't know, and probably will never know, just how much you have done for us. But we know that you've answered the call when God has said, go and take care. Go and teach. Go and pray. Go and love. Go and share joy. And that's what we're truly thankful for. So as we go from here, again, I just want to say that as you join us, if you are new here, I'm glad you joined us on this day. When you are here and when you are with us and when you're at Sunrise, you are family to us. And whether you are a mom or not, we thank the women in our lives because truly you are moms to our church, grandmas to our church. And I love as I've looked in the times that I've been visiting and been at Sunrise and been there, and I see the joy and the love that is poured on by our Sunday school teachers, by those working in the nursery, by those helping out at mops and babysitting and caring. There is so much love that has been given. And we thank you for answering God's call and serving him wherever he calls you to serve. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the women in our lives. We thank you for the impact that we've made, how they have been there for us, how they've rescued us, and we may not even know. But God, we are thankful for them. God, we know that you call each and every one of us. And as we hear that call, we pray that we'll be able to answer. No matter who we are, God, you are calling us. I pray that we never underestimate the task you've given us or where you've put us. Who knows whether that basket, like that servant girl took out of the Nile, would be the great prophet Moses. The one who showed love, the one that answered, yes, Lord. Whatever it is for us this week and as we go forward, God, I pray that we would approach this the same way, our lives the same way that these women did in our story. One of answering the call of serving you and loving others. I just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. If you are new here at Sunrise, I want you to send us a message. Down below, you can send us a direct message. You'll also notice that we have got our email up there. Or if you go to our website, you can just go to sunrise.church/welcome and you can fill out a digital connect card. And we would love to share a bit about who we are, where God is calling us, and how we can answer any of your questions, whether it's about the church, whether you've got more questions about who Jesus is or who God is, we would love to share that with you. I truly believe that there's nothing that I would rather do than to stop what I'm doing and share Jesus with someone. And I hope that you understand that, and please reach out and connect with us. There's a few things that are going on this week, as usual, so please join us for that. Again, I promote it every time because I love it. The Monday morning, 10 a.m., Backshed Bible Study with Pastor Cliff. Great shed, great person, great Bible study. Checks off all the boxes. So that's 10 a.m. on Monday morning. And then we've got Pastors Live on Wednesday, where we get to hear from all of our pastors, see what's going on in Sunrise. Thursday afternoon is the podcast that I do. We're looking at prayer. And so you can see that at 2 o'clock every Thursday. There's all sorts of other things going on. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and you won't miss out on anything that's going on. Until then, Sunrise, take care, and I'll see you next week.